Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get an update on the efforts to eliminate veterans homelessness from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and hear how the voices of junior service members are shaping the future of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Brigadier General Sean Mankey.
Each year from September 15th to October 15th, Americans observe National Hispanic Heritage Month to celebrate the contributions of Americans whose ancestors came from Spain, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central and South America. September is a significant month because it's the anniversary of independence for many Latin American countries. While there is much to celebrate culturally, Hispanic Americans have made countless sacrifices in defense of our nation. During the Spanish-American War, several thousand Hispanic volunteers, mostly from the southwestern United States, fought with distinction in the U.S. Army. Some of these soldiers joined Colonel Theodore Roosevelt's infamous Rough Riders and fought in Cuba. Hispanics continue to fight with distinction throughout both World Wars, Korea, and Vietnam. Their selfless service and dedication to the United States military remain strong today. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, please join me in celebrating and recognizing the exceptional contributions of these Americans, both past and present.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Junior Officer and Enlisted Tag Advisory Council is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks for having me. Honored to be with you.
Sergeant Major, we've got a real interesting council to talk about today, and I think you call it JOTAC, but we try not to use those acronyms. It's referred to as the Junior Officer and Enlisted Tag, sounds for the Adjutant General Advisory Council. And you are one of the facilitators of that council, but can you tell me, what is the purpose of this council?
It serves a number of purposes, Tom, and, I think one of the main ones is just having the opportunity for our junior officers and enlisted to have a voice within the organization. And then, from their perspective, what they're seeing within the organization as far as gaps that we might, as senior leaders, not necessarily see from their perspective. And then, like I said, it's also to be a voice for the organization to give that junior officer, enlisted, and warrant officers that voice that can resonate up through the organization. And then finally, part of it is it's we meet quarterly, and at the end of it, we have right now four groups come up with different topics that they'll present to the Adjutant General. So they directly have an audience with our Adjutant General, myself, the senior the command chief from the air side, and then our senior warrant officer as well.
And Sergeant Major, how big is this council? How many members of the Minnesota National Guard serve on it, and what rank are they?
So the council is made up of 25 Minnesota National Guard members. The grades run from E1 to E4, warrant officer 1 to warrant officer 2, and then first and second lieutenant, 01, 02. And it's comprised essentially of 19 Army soldiers and six Air members. So it's a fairly robust robust council across the board from warrant, enlisted, and officer from both Air and Army.
So, Sergeant Major, this sounds like an incredible opportunity for the Adjutant General to have access to 25 young members of the Minnesota National Guard and to hear what they have to say on a number of topics.
Oh, it absolutely is. Lieutenant General Jensen, now the director of the Army National Guard, felt so strongly about it that we're working to see if he can't sit in to receive the final briefing that the service members will give in September. So that just kind of gives you an idea how important he felt it was or is. So we're, like I said, we're gonna do what we can to either have like a video teleconference or some sort of dialogue with now the director of the Army National Guard, General Jensen.
We're speaking with Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper about the Junior and Law Officer and Enlisted Tag Advisory Council on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Major, can you give us just a little flavor? You said there's six Air National Guard members, three from the 133rd Air Wing and three from the 148th Fighter Wing, but then the other Army members come from all across the different units.
Absolutely. So, the breakout, our Joint Force Headquarters, they get one individual, which is a warrant officer. Our 34th Infantry Division ends up with the bulk of them, since it's the largest organization within the state, and they end up with 17 members from, you know, from all of our major subordinate commands, the 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team, the 84th Troop Command, our Aviation Brigade, the 34th ECAB, and then our Regional Support Group, the 347th. They all end up with members on the council as well.
So this is really, as we said, a great opportunity to get a wide swath of the troops from the Air and Army side. And in, as you said, in enlisted grades E1 through 4, Warrant Officer 1 and 2, and 1st and 2nd Lieutenant. Do you, I know that you're the point of contact for putting these things together. Do you keep an agenda, or there, do people submit topics that they'd like to address? How do you pull that all together for these quarterly meetings?
You know, it's an interesting process. Our diversity and inclusion office also has a part of it. And at the time, it was Lieutenant Colonel America, now Lieutenant Colonel Suarez. They assist us in essentially, it's we start out the first meeting, we come up with topics, and we allow the groups, or we break the 25 individuals into four groups. And within those groups, they have the ability then to kind of drill down onto a topic that they feel strongly about. And, you know, it's a work progress. So the first one, they work through what their topic is going to be. And then once they get to that point, you know, we try to help them identify, you know, more specifically what they want that topic to be as facilitators. And we try to make it so that it's something at the state level that we can address. I mean, it's great to talk national policy, but we don't have as much ability to affect that at the state level. So we work on what we can do within the state of Minnesota to make the Army and Air National Guard better.
And Sergeant Major, I understand that when this was set up, that the membership is for each of these individuals for a minimum of 1 year, not to exceed 2 years. And if they get promoted beyond those ranks we talked about, enlisted to E5, warrant to 3, and or to captain, then we have to find a replacement, and they get promoted right off the council.
Absolutely, it's very important that, you know, we keep that rank structure, because again, we want to have those grades represented in this council. So yes, it's a great thing to get promoted, but they do end up getting promoted out of at least one position that they're serving on.
And Sergeant Major, I know when they get promoted off this council, you've got other tasks for them to attend to, don't you?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, in Minnesota, it's not a boring time.
Well, and we've talked about that every time you're on. You've got troops deployed in the Middle East. You've got them in the Horn of Africa. We've got them down at Gitmo. Just got our folks back from NTC. It is a busy time in the Minnesota National Guard, but it's, I would guess, always a great time to get this kind of feedback for the Adjutant General from a council like this.
Oh, absolutely. And this group this year, they came up with some great topics. So they're working on, you know, the four groups we have, they're working on a development group, you know, essentially looking at how we can assist in developing, you know, an airman or soldier's career within the Minnesota National Guard. Another group is talking about the operational tempo within the Minnesota National Guard and, you know, the effects that may have on the soldier or the airman and their family or, you know, their employer, et cetera. And then the other two groups, they're working on a communications group, which is interesting in itself, right? Like how we communicate with the various generations and their method of how they communicate, and then what we can do to ensure that the message that's being put out there from, you know, the different levels is making it to the most junior level. And then lastly, but, you know, all very important, they're working on wellness within the Minnesota National Guard and what that entails. So physical, spiritual, mental, social, you know, all the way on down. So it's pretty impressive to see these groups come together and work on such diverse topics.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to meet two members of the Junior Officer and Enlisted Tag Advisory Council right here on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper today about the Junior Officer and Enlisted Adjutant General's Advisory Council for the Minnesota National Guard. And Sergeant Major, you've got two of those members with you today. Would you like to introduce them?
Absolutely. I've got Senior Airman Hopwood and Lieutenant from from the Army side.
Lieutenant and Senior Airman, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Lieutenant, I'd like to start with you. You took an interesting route to get to the Minnesota National Guard. I understand you were born in Nigeria.
Yes, I was born and raised in Lagos, Nigeria, but I grew up mostly around the southwestern part of Nigeria. I moved to Minnesota in 2013. I joined the Guard in 2015.
And I understand you had a sister-in-law that encouraged you to do that.
Yeah, it was more of a challenge, actually. She was always talking about how difficult basic training was, and for a child who grew up on the streets all over Nigeria, I was kind of, you know, I wanted to know how difficult it can be. So I signed up just to get the basic training experience, and here we are, 5 years later.
5 years later, first lieutenant and mm-hmm. a member of the Junior Officer and Enlisted Adjutant General's Advisory Council. Congratulations, Lieutenant. Senior Airman Hopwood, how did you arrive at the Minnesota National Guard?
Good afternoon, sir. So I arrived with the Minnesota Air National Guard. Actually, I was kind of inspired by my older brother who was serving as an E-4 in the Army. He just left the active duty, and I was like, well, if he can do it, can I do it? So I decided to sign up, obviously, into a different branch and started my journey, and here I am today.
Lieutenant, I want to come back to you. Can you tell me what's your current position in the Minnesota National Guard, and how do you like being a member of the Advisory Council?
I'm currently a second lieutenant with 434, so I'm part of the brigade, the 34th Infantry Division. I actually love being a part of this unique and very interesting group because it brings people together with some ideas that affect us personally that our leaders might not see from a lower enlisted or young officer's point of view.
So has being a member of this council helped you and benefited your service as a member of the Minnesota National Guard?
It has helped a lot, and I've also met people that I would probably necessarily have not met. And I've gotten to listen to them, hear them bring some ideas and look for solutions to problems. And it's been really interesting and absolutely a good learning point for me at this point in my career.
Thank you, ma'am. And Airman Hopwood, can you tell us what's your current position in the Air National Guard and how do you like being on the advisory council?
My current position in the Air National Guard, I work over at the 133rd, I'm out of the Security Forces Squadron, and that is my full-time gig. And being a part of the JOTAC Council, I mean, it's one thing to get out there and try to change and help your community, but then to step aside from that and try to return that favor to the individuals that you serve next to every single day that you can help better their future, it means a lot, and it does change you as an individual.
So it kind of changes your view on being a member of the Air National Guard and having access to the boss, to the Minnesota's Adjutant General.
Absolutely.
Sergeant Major, you told us the facilitators of this advisory council are yourself, the Minnesota Air National Guard Command Chief, and the commander of the who is the Director of Diversity and Inclusion. We've heard about diversity and inclusion for almost all of the 10 years that I've been doing this radio show, and we talk about it over and over and over again, and I'm seeing that as part of this advisory council as well.
You know, and I think that was the way this originally began under when the then Adjutant General Nash was more to be looking at diversity inclusion, but with General Jensen as Adjutant General, it kind of took the reins off or kind of loosened it up a bit, and it just allowed the members to kind of let the council be what they wanted it to be, you know, take it in the direction that they were interested in. So, they try to make sure not only is it diverse in the fact that it's from the Army, the Air, the rank structure, etc., but then also we want different viewpoints from race and gender, etc. So it's definitely, there is some thought process into who we ask to be on it, but that again is up to the major subordinate commands who they send.
Lieutenant, are you comfortable on this council bringing forth the topics that you'd like to discuss?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, but I lost you. Yes, I'm comfortable.
And Airman Hopwood, you feel good about bringing forth topics that that you've talked to other Air National Guard members about and bringing it to the council?
I absolutely do, yes.
Well, then it sounds like you got a pretty good atmosphere there. I wouldn't hesitate at all if I was still in the Air National Guard to bring a topic to the Command Sergeant Major. He might tell me to go out and mow the lawn or something, but he'd be receptive, I'm sure. We're speaking today about the Junior Officer and Enlisted Adjutant General's Advisory Council on Minnesota Military Radio. Just a couple of questions left. Lieutenant, you've been in, I think you told us, for 5 years. If you were talking to one of our young listeners today and they were thinking about joining the Army National Guard, what would you have to say to them?
I would say, first of all, know why you started. Like when things get hard, when things get challenging, just remember why you started. And, you know, look to your left, look to your right, look to the people around you. It's when you don't feel like you can go forward, just look at them and also know that these people are standing right next to you and they're experiencing the same things you're going through. Talk to them. Let them be your help and just leverage the people around you. Find resources. You got it. You can do it. And just, you are the best version of yourself if you ask for help, if you know what you want. It's a rewarding and beautiful journey. Just, I don't know how to say this, but I'm actually getting emotional. I'm sorry. But it's a really beautiful journey, and just do the best you can.
Well done, Lieutenant. Thank you. And Airman Hopwood, if she was talking into someone trying to tell him to join, you'd probably be over there trying to tell him to join the Air National Guard, right?
That is right, sir.
So if young people came to you and asked them about, are you enjoying yourself in the Air National Guard, what would you tell them?
I would say absolutely. We do have that that light switch over here in the National Guard, and I know the Army does as well, where it's a great group of people, but we have that rigid structure that is alive and well, and it's a very good balance of being a part of a family and also being a part of an organization that will set you up for success, keep you on the straight and narrow, and do everything that they can to help you progress as an individual. And it's a great community where you can, if you do have these questions and you have these hardships, it's not questioned whether or not you can lean on one of your peers, one of your supervisors or whatever that be, to try to get any sort of help or guidance within life or within your work with the National Guard.
Thank you, Airman Hopwood. Sergeant Major, just a few seconds left. Sounds like you've got some great people on this council and you're doing some good work there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's reassuring when you get to meet with these young officers and enlisted and warrants that, you know, the future of the Minnesota National Guard is going to be a bright one.
Thank you, Sergeant Major, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
That was Command Sergeant Major, Lieutenant Fako Adjamo, and Airman Hopwood from the Junior Officer and Enlisted Advisory Council of the Minnesota National Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on their efforts to eliminate veterans' homelessness. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Minnesota has a unique team of organizations who collaborate together to find and house homeless veterans. A key tool for these organizations is the Minnesota Homeless Veteran Registry, which helps these organizations to assist veterans who are experiencing homelessness and need access to stable housing. Participation is voluntary for veterans, and anyone can refer a veteran to join. For more information and to access referral forms, please visit Minnesota Homeless Veterans Registry page at minnesotaveteran.org. Ending veterans homelessness is a focus for Governor Walz and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I am proud of the progress the team has made, but I won't be satisfied till we're able to declare the end of veteran homelessness statewide. Anyone who knows a homeless veteran can call 1-888-LINK-VET. That's 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said, We're going to discuss today the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs efforts to eliminate veterans homelessness here in Minnesota. And joining me now to talk about that is Paul Williams, who is the Homeless Program Supervisor with the MDVA, and Sloan Kessler, who is the Homeless Programs Coordinator with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Paul, Sloan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having us, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Paul, I want to start with you. You're the Homeless Program Supervisor with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and to me that sounds like a kind of a wide range of things that you have to do, but it all comes down to getting our veterans off the streets and getting them back to some kind of normal in a home and with a job and those kind of things. Where does it all start, Paul?
Yeah. So it's a fun job to be sure, and the as one of the governor's top priorities is to end veteran homelessness across the state. There's been a lot of support from the governor's office and from Commissioner Herkey in becoming the fourth state in the country to declare an end to veteran homelessness statewide. And so, you know, we're, as you know, in very interesting times, and trying to mitigate the effects of this COVID-19 pandemic is having across the homeless response system clear across the state, but especially for our most at-risk veterans. As always, we do work closely with our registry partners across the state to ensure that every at-risk veteran who reaches out for help is able to be connected with that support system that's in place. And so when they are experiencing a housing crisis, MDVA and our registry partners are there to receive them and then start to work with our registry partners to come up with individualized housing plans. And so like I said, trying to mitigate a lot of what we're experiencing with the pandemic, and thanks to our partners, we're able to do that for the most at-risk veterans.
And Sloan, Paul's made reference now to the Veterans Registry. I think there's a Homeless Veterans Registry that our listeners can get through to if they know of any homeless veterans, in order to get them registered so that we can track them and so that you can start working with them. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have the option for someone to refer a veteran to the registry by calling 1-888-LINK-VET. And leaving their information. We also have forms available online on our website, minnesotaveteran.org. You can find the application for the Homeless Veteran Registry in the benefits page. So there's lots of ways to get connected, and the easiest way would be to call 1-888-LINK-VET.
1-888-LINK-VET. And Sloan, Paul made reference to the pandemic, to COVID-19. How has that changed how you go about solving homelessness here in Minnesota?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, COVID-19 has really made the health and safety of the veterans our number one priority, right? So those that are experiencing homelessness, we're working really hard with our partners across the state to move those veterans that are in congregate settings, such as emergency shelters, into safer locations like hotels. Hotel spaces kind of offer a little bit more safety, and especially for our veterans that are at high risk for contracting COVID-19, a place that they can focus on their health. And then from there, we're working to find a more concerted effort to finding housing and available other resources for our veterans. But we're still continuing to work all across the state with our partners to identify veterans that might be experiencing homelessness and to continue to find affordable housing for them. While maybe some of those in-person meetings aren't happening, we are still doing as much as we can to communicate and connect through virtual means.
We're speaking with Paul Williams and Sloan Kessler from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Paul, what's your biggest hurdle that you're facing in your mission to end veteran homelessness?
Yeah, Tom, so the biggest hurdle, and it's not really a new one, but, you know, over the course of the last couple years has really been the lack of available, safe, affordable housing for the veterans on the Homeless Veteran Registry. And so what we've seen is, you know, veterans, we've come up with housing plans for them. We have a way for the veteran to pay for the unit. There just aren't units available to get veterans into. And so that does currently, during the pandemic, remain the biggest hurdle for us. And so we've been innovative over the course of the past 18 months to try to spin up some programs to entice or to incent landlords to that are willing to rent to at-risk veterans to do that. And so, again, if there are property managers or landlords out there that are listening that are willing to rent to at-risk veterans, we do ask that they contact 1-888-LINK-VETS or, as was mentioned before, access our website at minnesotaveteran.org where there's an individual page for landlords that discusses some of those programs.
Sloan, you made reference to hotels when we were talking to you a minute ago, and we heard last week from MACV that they were working hard on a hotel program to provide some temporary housing for our homeless veterans until there were landlords available to show them more permanent housing. Is that a big part of your new initiatives?
Yes, definitely. We are working with MACV and some of that additional funding that they've received from the federal government to support the hotel stays. But we also are working on some other Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs specific resources that are available to veterans as well.
Now, when you're trying to find the more permanent housing and deal with landlords, are there some incentives that you have that you can offer those landlords that participate in your program?
Yes, we have, as Paul mentioned, some programming that's now been recently available. And so the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is currently offering a couple different incentives for landlords depending on specific eligibility. But the first resource is the Vacancy Relief Fund, which can provide access to 1 month's rent for a landlord in order to keep a unit available while a veteran is preparing to move into that unit. And the second resource that we have is called the Incentive Fund, and that is given to landlords who agree to sign a one-year lease with a veteran who has barriers to housing. And this incentive is in the amount of $1,000 per lease that is signed for an eligible applicant. And then last but definitely not least is the final rental assistance resource, and it is called the Risk Mitigation Fund. And this fund is designed to cover some property loss at a unit if an eligible veteran moves out of the property for up to $2,000. And this fund kind of acts as an insurance policy in the event, in the unlikely event that something may happen on a landlord's property. So there is a lot of information available on our website. Again, that's minnesotaveteran.org. There's a page called Homes for Veterans that you can look at. And also, again, all this information can be available by calling 1-888-LINK-VET.
And Paul, we just got a few seconds left, but if there are hotels that want to participate in the temporary housing or landlords, do they go to the same place? Can they call 1-888-LINK-VET?
Yes, Tom. So what we would do is we'd definitely take that call, but we'd refer them on to Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans who are kind of tracking which hotels are willing to take those veterans.
So we're always looking for hotels for the temporary and landlords that want to participate in the more permanent housing.
That's exactly right.
All right, Paul Sloan, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about veterans homelessness in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about veterans homelessness in Minnesota with Paul Williams and Sloan Kessler from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Paul, we've alluded to in that first segment that you have a lot of partners throughout Minnesota that are they're helping you when it comes to identifying our homeless veterans, trying to get them in so that you can help them, try to solve whatever situation caused them to become homeless in the first place, get them a home, get them a job, get them back to some kind of normalcy. And can you tell us about a couple of these agencies that you're working with in order to accomplish this?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Tom, because Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs relies tremendously on our terrific partners across the state in our work towards ending veteran homelessness. And I'd just like to call out a few In particular, it's the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. A big part of what they do is prevention, so keeping people from having to be added to the Homeless Veteran Registry. But in the event that they do, connecting them with the registry, offering available services to help mitigate some housing barriers and get them into safe, secure housing. Another close partner is the federal VA, and they operate the HUD-BASH housing program. And so very essential. That resource is really tremendous to the veterans that are on the Homeless Veteran Registry. And then a couple of state agencies, the Department of Human Services and Minnesota Housing, we've worked very closely with them at a state level to really do a couple things. In the case of Minnesota Housing, it's to look at programs and projects that are coming online, so housing developments, affordable housing developments, where we can see what we can do to get veterans, more veterans from the registry into those, slotted into those properties as they open. Another one is to connect, working with Department of Human Services, to connect veterans who are on the registry with resources that are not only veteran-specific but are available to the general population, because as we know, veterans are people too, and so we want to be able to connect them with whatever service is most appropriate for them. And so, but really, I think where the magic happens is there's a real synergy when all of these different partners join in those registry meetings to do the individual case conferencing of every veteran that is on that registry, going name by name and coming up with solutions to barriers that we're coming across. And if MACV is not able to assist a veteran, is the VA able to assist, right? And so really just it's inspirational to sit in those meetings and see how the different areas and the different work that all these great organizations do really come together to serve our most vulnerable and at-risk veterans in Minnesota.
Paul, sounds like you've got some great partners all over Minnesota, and it's a huge effort to try to get us to net zero. No veterans out on the streets, but we have to stay vigilant, because once you get down to zero, there might be a new one tomorrow, and so we have to start over. Sloan, I want to just ask you, if our listeners know of a veteran who might be homeless, how do they help them?
Absolutely, Tom. So there's a number of ways to get connected to the Homeless Veteran Registry and to get connected with programs and services that might be available for a veteran that's fallen on hard times or is experiencing these things. And the easiest way is to give 1-888-LINK-VET a call. They will kind of take down some information, and we will begin to work on housing plans through the Homeless Veteran Registry. There's also information available on getting onto the registry online at minnesotaveteran.org. Again, there are a number of programs and services available through the Homeless Veteran Registry, as well as some of our other mainstream partners that we are working closely with to get people into safe, secure, and stable housing.
And Paul, once you find that there's a homeless veteran, then someone's got to interview them and say, okay, what circumstances caused you to become homeless, and what issue is it? Is it a legal issue? Is it a medical issue? Is it an addiction issue? What caused that? And then let's try to fix that and then get you back on your feet. Isn't that the right route?
That's exactly right. And just talking about that synergy, right? You know, one of these organizations can't end veteran homelessness in Minnesota by themselves. Really, they all bring different strengths to the table. And so, you know, every veteran situation is a unique one. And to be able to rely on our partners to kind of triage their situation of the individual veteran and really come up with a very very unique and individualized plan for that veteran, depending on whatever barriers they may be experiencing.
Very good. Paul Sloan, you're doing some wonderful work to help our veterans and eliminate veterans' homelessness. And I'd like to thank you both for joining us today.
I appreciate the time. Thanks so much for having us, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Tom.
That was Paul Williams and Sloan Kessler from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's a
Tom, thank you. Been a while, my friend.
Doug, this has been one of those years that kind of a lost COVID-19 2020 year. It's just everything's upside down. And I know for a while the Minnesota Patriot Guard was not able to go to any missions. But I think the last couple of times we've talked to you, your riders are back together. You're going to missions. Are things starting to get back to normal? How's the COVID-19 treated our Minnesota Patriot Guard riders this year?
Well, you know, Tom, like everybody in all walks of life, from professional organizations to volunteer organizations, we've had to make a lot of changes and a lot of adjustments. And as our friends the Marines say, adapt, improvise, overcome. And I think we have. You know, we've got a pretty good mission calendar put back together again. I'm just looking at it now for the month of September. We probably have 15, 20 missions scheduled already, either ones, you know, just even starting on yesterday. We had our first one in Maple Grove for the month. So a lot going on, Tom. I think we're back from a mission schedule standpoint. Now it's just a matter of continuing to be safe and thoughtful as we're at the missions.
Doug, for those that might not be familiar with the Minnesota Patriot Guard, can you share with us what kind of missions do you go on and how do you become a member?
You know, right now in the current environment we're in with the military, we've got a number of different types of missions we've been doing. Certainly the highest volume one right now is for veterans. Any veteran who was discharged honorably, Tom, at the family's request, will attend their funeral, and we can either go as part of the wake or as part of the church ceremony, as part of the interment ceremony, whatever the family requests. And that is by far now our greatest volume of missions.
That's where you establish
your flag line. We're also very involved with a lot of the repatriation of remains coming back in, you know, from the Pearl Harbor. So we've been doing a lot of repatriations. We meet them down at the airport at the firehouse and escort them home. We're doing a lot for Wisconsin. But then we're also doing a lot of, I guess you'd call them fun ones. We're playing bingo at the veterans' homes across the state. We got a barbecue coming up at the Silver Bay VA home. So just a lot of different things we're doing to keep our members busy and active.
And, Doug, the Minnesota National Guard has been very, very busy, and I know that your riders have been out for departure ceremonies, and hopefully they'll be available for some welcome back home ceremonies pretty quick.
Yeah, the invitations to the welcome homes have been very carefully done. And I think, you know, a lot of the deployment ceremonies, in particular, the military is even, I think, to the point families not been there. So we're certainly not going to be somewhere where the families aren't invited. So we actually had a meeting a couple weeks ago with the new senior enlisted advisor, Command Sergeant Major Soper, and just made sure he knew what we did and what we're willing to do and how to best go about that with them as well. So, but, you know, those are just the different types of missions we do. And really, it's anyone can be invited, Tom, to be a member of this organization. You don't have to be a veteran. You don't have to have a motorcycle. All you need is a 3x5 flag on a pole and be a patriot. And you go to our website, which is mnpatriotguard.org, mnpatriotguard, all one word, .org. And on the left-hand side, click Join Us. You need an email address and a zip code, and then you're going to get an email every Wednesday night that talks about here's the missions coming up for the next week. And we'll also direct you back to the website to look at the actual calendar itself. So it's very simple to do, and it doesn't take much. It just takes some time. And we really could use some help, Tom, you know, particularly for the Monday through Friday missions that we have. You know, we've got a group of people who are starting to get a little bit on in their years, and we could use some new help and some new people to be part of what we do. And so we'd really appreciate, you know, the Monday through Friday help. You know, many folks such as yourself and myself, we work and we can't really take the time off to go to these missions. So we could use some new people and some help.
And Doug, it's all about honor, dignity, and respect. And when we refer to you from the flag line, it's really about getting your riders out there and you form a line with the flags. And it's all about respecting those folks. Doug, we just got about a minute left here, and I know that you had a virtual Patriot ride this year. How'd that go?
We haven't heard the final numbers yet, Tom, so I couldn't tell you how it went. I could tell you my virtual Patriot ride was flying in a Huey helicopter. That's how I did my virtual Patriot ride. So we got big plans for next year, though. You know, this year was the last year of the Patriot ride, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, and we don't have a lot of details, but we do want to let people know that next year the Minnesota Patriot Guard will be starting its ride back up, and we're going to be calling it the Gathering of the Guard. And for many years, we did not have our own ride because we were fully supportive of the Patriot Ride. And we need to re-engage our members with that and really get to focus on our mission and to say thank you to the Gold Star families and to our veterans and, you know, really just keep a narrow focus on it. But we're going to call it the Gathering of the Guard. That's a national name that had been given, you know, to any states across. And we just want to make sure we've got separation between the experience of the Patriot Ride and then what we're going to do. So we're looking at January 17th, 2021 for that to come off. And I hope I don't get in trouble for telling everybody about it.
I'll help you if you do, Doug. I want to thank you for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you to all our veterans.
That was Doug Bly from the Flagline of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, First Lieutenant Fako Waju, Senior Airman Jordan Hopwood from the Minnesota National Guard, Paul Williams and Sloan Kessler from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Brigadier General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we will hear from our county veteran service officers from around the state concerning issues facing our veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.